Hey guys, this is Laura Vandervoort. I played Kara Kent / Supergirl on Smallville, and you are listening to Always Hold On to Smallville.
Welcome to Always Hold On to Smallville. In this podcast, we talk about each and every episode of the Young Superman show that ran from 2001 to 2011 on the WB and the CW. And we're back for our 18th level, 33.1. I'm your host, Zach Moore, and I'm joined by five very special level 33.1 patrons. We have Mr. Chris Fuchs.
Hello, hello.
Mr. Darren Kirsch.
Hello, Zach.
Mr. Joy Dainberg.
Hey, how's it going?
Mr. J.J. Hodges.
Good evening.
And finally, Mr. Mateo Santiago.
Whoa, whoa! Nice to be back.
Mateo Jarrell Santiago?
It is legally Jarrell, yes.
Awesome.
Did you find that exciting when you were a Superman fan? You're like, I can kind of say my name as Superman's dad?
Honestly, I didn't realize it until like I was like 10 or 11. Like, someone just kind of pointed out, and I was just like, oh yeah, like that is his dad's name. Although it's pronounced Jor-El, not Jor-El, so. Mm.
Yeah. Like Krypton. Like Krypton. It's Krypton.
Tomato, tomato.
I always feel shown up here on these, what everybody's wearing. You know, me and Darren are just, Darren, are you wearing a special shirt? Or are you just a normal guy like me?
Not today. I'm just wearing a shark shirt.
All right, we're just normal guys here doing our thing. But Chris got his red, white, and blue Superman. Jarrell over here. I'm going to call you Jarrell now. Mateo over here has this very topical with his Fleischer Superman shirt. Gotta love JJ representing Batman Beyond over there. And Joey's got the Flash going. But anyway, all that to say, there's like so much to discuss. I mean, we'll pass it around here and see what everybody wants to say about what. I mean, where should we start? Where would you guys like to start?
Let's start at the most recent thing, Superman news.
Superman news, yes. So, I feel like, you guys correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like the term reboot gets thrown around way too much these days, right? Because when they said, oh, well, J.J. Abrams is taking over, and they're rebooting Superman, I'm like, okay, well, what does that mean? Does that mean he's the new director, and they're doing more Superman with Henry Cavill in the DCU? Apparently, that's not what that means. Because when the X-Files came back, for example, for seasons 10 and 11, they're like, they're rebooting the X-Files. I'm like, no, they're not. They're continuing the X-Files. And, like, Frasier's coming back, apparently, on Paramount Plus. Like, they're rebooting Frasier. I'm like, no, that's a sequel to Frasier, right? But anyway, apparently this is a real reboot, if this is to be taken for face value. Now, I will say, prefacing this, how many projects does DC have in the works right now with superheroes, right? I mean, several, right? I think you can count on three hands, probably, how many projects. So is this going to happen? I don't know, right? This is coming out now. There are ideas of why or why not this news is being released right now for other reasons. But apparently, J.J. Abrams, who actually wrote and was going to potentially direct, I guess it was going to be McGee or Brett Ratner back then. But J.J. Abrams, who wrote Superman Flyby back in the early 2000s, which Henry Cavill screen tested for, I believe.
Yep.
But he is going to produce, they haven't even said direct, but produce a reboot with writer Ta-Nehisi Coates. And he's actually a journalist, and he's African-American, and his angle with Superman is he's going to be African-American this time. That's the idea. Now, there are a lot of angles about this, right? You could say, wait, is he going to be one of the Calvin Harris is actually an alternate universe Superman in the comic books. There's Val Zod, who was the Earth 2. I mean, I don't know what he is right now, but in the New 52, he was the Earth 2 Superman, right? So you could do that. Or are they going to be like, Superman's Clark Kent is now African American? And we're like, okay. So those are all the angles you could do here. And, you know, where I sit on this is like, okay, there are, you know, black Superman in the comic books. You could do that. But I will, if you want to do that as well as the established Superman we already have and frankly haven't gotten enough of in the movies of the last, you know, gosh, 8 years now since Man of Steel. We only have one Superman movie, and he's appeared in a couple of other ones. And then also, you know, if you're going to do Black Superman, there is a Black Superman, sort of. He's called Icon. He's from the Milestone comics. Everybody doesn't know what those are. Look him up, right? But Dwayne McDuffie and a lot of great comic book creators in the 90s, Dwayne McDuffie is one of the great masterminds behind the DC animated universe, which everybody loves so much. And he actually passed away, unfortunately, at a very young age a few years ago. But him and a group of comic creators created Milestone Comics, and they were like, hey, you know what? Well, let's make some African-American superheroes, right? We don't want to just, you know, race swap people. That's not what we're looking for. We're looking for like new stories that are kind of our stories. And they made Icon, Rocket, Static Shock. I believe everyone's probably familiar with him from the Kids WB TV show. And yeah, so I think that's the angle to go. And with if they really want to do that, because that's untapped stories that you could put alongside the Superman story. So where I stand on it is race swapping, just like Clark Kent is black now. Like, I think that's a bad idea. I think, and you know, just unpacking that, I think that would cause way too much controversy. That's completely unnecessary. But if you do Val Zod or, you know, Calvin Harris or one of these other multiverse characters, that's cool. But then don't replace, you know, the Clark Kent Superman, Henry Cavill or not, right? You know, just don't replace him with that. Do it alongside those characters. So that's where I stand on it. Darren, let's start with you, man. What are your thoughts?
I will preface my comments with a question, actually. Did the article specifically say it was going to be an African-American based Superman? Or is that just like a rumor or a theory?
So everything I found was just conjectures. Has anyone else seen something otherwise? Because that seems to be what all the websites are running with, right? But you're right. Nothing says that's what they're doing. So
yeah, just like Ben Affleck was supposed to be a bad Batman, right? But then, oh, wait. I'm just kidding. But
I never understood that. I never understood why people didn't like him as Batman. From the minute I heard he was cast, I was like, that's perfect. But anyway.
Same. Yep.
Okay, so I have complicated thoughts on it. I'm kind of torn on a couple different levels because talking about just like the movie itself potentially being a reboot. I mean, the rumor of J.J. Abrams connected to Superman, I think, isn't necessarily a new thing. I think that's kind of been a rumor for a little while now.
Yeah, in this new version. I mean, we talked about way back then, 2003, but you're talking now. Yes. And you're absolutely right. Since he signed a new contract with WB, he's been connected and floated around with Superman for a while. So this isn't exactly breaking news. You're absolutely right.
Right. And in terms of the movie itself, I mean, I'm partially torn because obviously, I mean, I'll be honest. I love almost every iteration of the character that we've gotten so far. You know, with Christopher Reeve and Tom Welling and even Henry Cavill, who I think is really underrated as Superman. I think Henry deserves another full-length Superman movie of his own. I think he's just too good in the role not to be given that opportunity, even if it is with a different director, maybe a different kind of story, a different kind of tone. I think he deserves it. On the other hand, I totally understand the concept of totally starting fresh. Cause I mean, let me look at Man of Steel. You know, that movie was totally its own thing, a totally fresh, unique take on Superman. And I loved it. I know, Zach, I know you don't like it as much as me. Yeah. So I totally understand, you know, and even like the Superman and Lois show, it's its own thing. Right. So I'm kind of torn on that. The part that I think frustrates me the most with this news, and I don't mean to take up too much time just talking about this specifically, but it just bothers me that the news came out when it did. I mean, we literally have Zack Snyder's Justice League coming out, marketing. They just had the new trailer that just came out. We have Superman and Lois just debuted on the CW. You know, there's a lot of really cool things that are happening with the character right now. And they decide to throw in this news at this moment. So that's kind of what bums me out the most about it. Like, why right now?
What it reminded me of really was when it was like when The Flash debuted, the TV show in 2014, and then like the second episode of The Flash came out, and then they announced Ezra Miller as The Flash, right? And it kind of undercut Grant Gustin, like, starting a new TV show. Stephen Amell actually called him out. He was like, yeah, I think that's a real not cool thing to do because, you know, I mean, let this guy at least have his, you know, moment in the sun without everyone immediately saying, oh, well, that's great, but now there's a movie Flash, right? And that's what it reminded me of. And WB is all over the place, right? This is, for years, they have been, like segmented, and one department can't do this because the other department's doing that, and it's unfortunate. I think this is another, you know, regardless of what camp people are in or whatever, I do think this is evidence of that. Regardless of what the intentions are, I still think this is more evidence of like, get on the same page, people.
And even like, there's not even anyone attached to it. There isn't a director attached to it. It's literally just, oh, I guess J.J. Abrams is producing it, and we have a writer.
Yeah.
I mean.
And at some point, right, how many movies have they announced like that? Like, these soft announcements just to kind of like, hey, guys, we're doing stuff, or at least to grab headlines, or to grab away headlines, right? You know,
like, so when is this movie going to come out? Like, 2025? You know? Like,
it'll probably be after the new Flash movie, that's for sure.
Whenever that's going to be.
Which is allegedly filming, so we'll see about that. But no, good take, yeah. Darren. I agree that it's not... Regardless of what the announcement is, like, it's not, and even talking about the Snyder Cut, talk about Superman and Lois. You have two different, like you said, there's two different Supermans going on right now.
Right. Yeah.
Let those breathe. Let those have some time. So yeah, no, good call. What about you, Chris? What are your thoughts?
So I'll take it twofold. The first, I agree with you on the race swapping piece. I mean, there's nothing against having diverse superheroes. I think these stories would be awesome to tell. It'd be great to see. It'd be great for kids to see someone that looks like them being the characters that they love. You want to tell more stories, that's fine with me, but I think you take away from the creator, like the Milestone characters or whatnot, when you specifically change just for the sake of diversity. I think it takes away a little bit. I think these characters were set up to be what they are and there. But at the same time, if it's a Superman story, like, I want to see it. I'll go see it. I have no problem with there being a Superman TV show, a Superman movie coming out, another Superman movie. That's fine with me to have these alternate ideas. And I think if somebody has a vision and a direction that they want to take and put out for the world and people want to see it, go for it. Let's see it. I've always been kind of upset with Warner Brothers. We can only have one going at one time, etc. As for, like, the news coming out, I think I disagree with it coming out now, too. I think it takes away, but it also, to me, it makes complete sense. You have a pilot that just debuted that people are talking about is one of the best Arrowverse pilots that they've had, Superman and Lois. You have the Snyder Cut coming out, and there's a lot of hype for it. So right now, all the expectations are great. People want to see it because they want to get the vision, and they work so hard to get it out there. And there's still the potential that it's like some amazing thing and like it could come out and then maybe it's not that good and then people are negative on it. And then do you really want to have like, oh, well, we're going to do a new Superman and it turns it back on it. Or if it does really well and then you come out and say we have a new Superman, it could be kind of looking like they're trying to just move away from that. So I guess I kind of understand where they're doing. They're trying to take the hype that's going right now and go with it, make some money or get some interest for some money. But that's the way I look at it. I agree with you. I agree with you both on your points.
Cool. What about you, Joey?
I definitely completely agree on just the timing. I swear that within minutes I saw the news that the Snyder Cut was going to end in a complete cliffhanger. And then 5 minutes later on Twitter, I'm seeing, you know, that, you know, oh, we're going to reboot Superman. I'm just like, you know, why not just take some time to, like you said, let it breathe and just see where, you know, where the reactions are, you know, just because, you know, I was over the moon watching Superman and Lois thinking that was, you know, one of the most refreshing Superman, you know, any Superman content that I've seen in the last decade. And then again, just with, Cavill Superman and the Snyder Cut, it's just, you know, let's, why don't we just see where the fan reactions take us with both of these characters and see where they take us. And yeah, and then on the other end with just the recasting of it, I just thinking about it, and I was listening to Nerd Party News with Lance earlier today, and mm-hmm. I was, you know, in just terms of the complete just race swapping one character where you completely swap one end, and then, you know, and then as Lance mentioned earlier today, was just the Jessica Cruz Green Lantern. You know, are we going to tell that story where we're just, you know, or are we just going to race swap one character? So I just think that we've got such a plethora of characters to tell their story, and we're really doing a disservice to those characters.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, of all the characters, legacy characters out there, the Green Lanterns have handled this the best, right? You had Jon Stewart, who is, you know, arguably the most recognizable Green Lantern, at least the people in our of our generation, right? Because of when we grew up and, of course, the Justice League cartoon, right? And they didn't make Hal Jordan black, right? They made a new character, right? And then they have Jessica Cruz, who's Hispanic. You have Simon Bass, who is Muslim, right? You have all the, you know, they're like, way to go, Green Lantern Corps. Yeah, that's how you do it, right? And I understand, like, they, that's, you can have multiple ones at the same time. Just the very nature of that is different than, like, a Superman. But just as a, as like a point at that to say that's how they did it right, like, that's how you do it right. And so they make it so complicated. And also just giving things time to breathe. You know, like, that's why I don't care about the Batman. Like, I just, like, you know what? Like, I know Ben Affleck kind of left, but now he came back and shot some stuff. Maybe he's in a better place. They rushed, scrambled so, like, fast to, like, move on from Ben Affleck to give you Robert Pattinson, which, and we'll see how that turns out, right? But it's like, I didn't want that. I know a lot of people don't. I know a lot of people are excited about it. But when you have a successful, like, they're doing this, the thing they tried to avoid for so many years, like, not, like, confuse and divide people by doing multiple versions. Now they're doing that. And it's just, it's very muddled, and yeah, I agree as well. So JJ, what are your thoughts, man?
I'm actually, I loved Superman and Lois, so the timing is definitely very strange, but honestly, when I thought of it being Calvin or Val Zod instead of Clark Kent, and I hope that's what they do, I think that's exciting because the Val Zod arc from Earth 2, which was in the New 52. That Tom Taylor wrote, and, you know, Tom Taylor did Injustice and Deceased. You know, he's a brilliant writer, can do no wrong in my mind. So if they go that route, I'm like, yeah, I'm 100% on board with that. If they want to make a
do you have faith that they will? Like, are they that smart and creative to do that? You know what I mean?
Well, you know, in an interesting behind the scenes thing. Ta-Nehisi Coates, is that right? Ta-Nehisi?
I don't know how to pronounce it either, but yeah.
Mr. Coates. So Mr. Coates, he wrote a book that name escapes me about Black Wall Street. That book inspired Damon Lindelof when he made the new Watchmen series. So I have faith in him to write a really great Superman story, and him being a journalist and.
Yeah, I mean, that's a unique aspect as well. I mean, a journalist writing about Superman who's a journalist, that's unique. So
yeah, absolutely. And here's hoping that with J.J. Abrams just producing, because I think that he is a good director. It's just that there's too much world building and not enough payoff. You know, I think we can all agree with that.
And he has ADD. He won't stick with any one particular property either. So
yeah, and if he comes back to it, he retcons stuff that somebody else did. you know. But seriously, it's the writer I have faith in, and if they want to go that route with those two characters, especially Val Zod, who I love, I'm all for it. But again, we'll see what happens, because like you said, Zach, you know, how many movies have they announced and not done? You know, Zach and I talked about Superman Lives not too long ago, and how far along did that get before that got right. Scrapped, you know?
All right, Mateo, what about you, man?
So I feel like I'm going to come off as greedy, but I'm just like, just give me all of it. Like, I totally, like, when I heard that this new Superman movie was coming, I was just like, just shocked, because I was just like, oh, so they actually want to use Superman in the movies? Because, like, I feel like the fact that Superman and Lois actually exist just told me that they had no interest in investing in Superman in the big screen.
That's a bad sign. When they allow you to use the character on TV, that's a bad sign for you. That's why Batman is still off limits, right?
Exactly. So when I heard the news that they were, like, potentially making a new film, I honestly got excited, just because, like, I want to see Superman on the big screen. And as much as I love the pilot for Superman and Lois, I was just like, man, I wish I could see something like this on the big screen. And that's unlikely in the foreseeable future, but I'm just like, with the prospect of J.J. Abrams' involvement, I put on Twitter saying that, you know, like, he did produce, like, Star Trek Beyond and, like, all the Mission Impossible movies that came after he directed, so, like, and all those movies are great, so just because he's involved doesn't necessarily mean that, like, we're in trouble. And with the writer, Mr. Coates, just gonna stick with that, I watched his documentary on HBO Max this morning called Between the World and Me, which is based on the book. I'm really curious about his take, and I have, and he also wrote a couple of like a run of Black Panther comics. So I haven't gotten into those yet, but I mean, with all those in mind, I'm extremely curious about what his take on Superman really would be. And if they do like race swap him to just being Clark Kent, who's a black man, I'm honestly kind of down for it, just because, you know, and we'll talk about like the Supergirl casting later, but like as a Latino, like we do not have a lot of superheroes to kind of like represent. Like the closest I have off the top of my head is like Blue Beetle, or
who you're getting a movie now, by the way. They just announced
See him in live action.
Yeah, for the first time, right? We never seen him at all before. Yeah, Smallville, Booster, season 10. But anyway.
Didn't Tom Welling direct that episode, Booster?
Yes. Yep.
I think he did.
He did. That was Jeff Johns.
Written by Jeff Johns.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
Semi under fire right now.
So with, and like, yeah, Blue Beetle and Miles Morales, I mean, like, those are characters are brand new, so I'm open to the possibility of a new version of Superman. That being said, I'm open to the possibility, especially because, like, and you guys brought, Zach, you and the rest of the crew brought this up in the Superman and Lois pod about like the show is mostly white people and the main bad guy is black. So it's a little concerning on that front, but if they decide to kind of like flip it around for a new movie, I'd be kind of down for that. And honestly, I'm just kind of, I'm choosing to be optimistic until I see actual like video, like until I see actual footage, I choose to be optimistic.
You know, if we can get Billy Zane as Lex Luthor in this movie, then I will be 100% down for it. Yeah,
last chance.
Yeah, I'd be less. Yeah, ultimately, it wouldn't bother me so much as I don't think anyone. I think we're all pretty much on the same page here, just different variations of it. But I think had we gotten like a Henry Cavill Superman trilogy, or at least some kind of felt like his story had been told, and we're moving on to the next one, I think we all be like, okay, sure, the next, right? But because he had one movie, and then it seemed ever since then, it's a scramble to like, well, what do we do? Put in Batman, bring the Justice League, move on, don't put him in anything else, and. There's a sense of like we got robbed at some point, like from the Superman that we want to see, who is still kind of the active Superman, you know. I mean, like even Shazam, it's like that's the Henry Cavill Superman. If it's gonna be him, he might be in Shazam too. There rumors say yes, rumors say no, who knows. So I think that's a huge factor as well, just the fact that it's like, hey, like what happened to the Superman who we still kind of have. And if we had any faith in Warner Brothers to do like, oh no, you're still getting that, and you're also getting this, and you're also getting that, then we'd feel better too. But it seems to be like, okay, here's your next Superman movie with no mention of Henry Cavill at all. So that's another. This is such a like so much to unpack with all this news, and that's what we're all kind of like trying to figure out all together here.
And you can, I mean, Superman actors have kind of taken a little bit of a shaft in the movies because Brandon Routh did an amazing job as Superman. He never got to do it again either. Well, right. I mean, Crisis, but not in a movie.
Right. I would love to see a Brandon Routh Superman movie. Is that, can we see that?
HBO Max, make it happen.
HBO Max series? Can we watch that? Like,
can we get like an Into the Spider-Verse Superman movie?
Do it.
With all of the different Superman actors.
I mean, that's what we're getting with Flashpoint, with Batman, apparently. So, well. So, I think that the next subject we can talk about is the Supergirl casting, right? Mm. Because there's similar things at play here. The Flashpoint movie, I had been kind of, okay, sure, I don't care about this Flash movie, but now I care because there's Batman. And, you know, Lance and I have been going back and forth about it. Where he's like, is this a Flash movie? What is this, right? And now, and as I said on Twitter, I was like, okay, I think I'm with him now because it's Supergirl casting now out of nowhere. Like, I just, it seems so, like, why that Supergirl... casting who it is aside, right, that character should show up in a Superman movie, not a Flashpoint movie, and we have no context for who this character is. So they've cast Sasha Kale as Supergirl, a Hispanic actress. So, Mateo, you were speaking a little bit of this in your last point about the Superman movie. What are your thoughts on this whole situation?
So, I do not know her, and like I looked her up on IMDb, and I don't really see like any credits that I know. Like I watched on YouTube a clip of her being on The Young and the Restless, and I was just like, cool. So I
was she in any episodes with Justin Hartley? Wasn't he on that, or was it the Bold and the Beautiful? I don't know.
I don't know.
He was on Passions, wasn't he?
He was on a couple of soap operas, but anyway.
I'm pretty sure they're all exactly the same things.
So. Yes.
Yeah, so I can't say anything on the merit of her, like her acting. I was because it has like nothing to do with like her being Supergirl or anything like that. So clearly, the director Andy, he sees something in her that we haven't seen yet. So we just don't know. But I think just like the idea of her, like they cast a Hispanic actress to play Supergirl, I think it's important. Just like as a Latino myself, that like we get to see like this type of decision made, just because like a lot of the superheroes that we know are white, so it is nice just to see them swap every now and then, just for the sake of like changing things up. And I'm choosing to be optimistic with this one as well. Like I'm very curious about the context of it all. I mean,
yeah, maybe, that's like, more of my concern.
Honestly, and this is such a pessimistic part of me thinking right now, that like in the Flashpoint world that Flash creates, maybe it's just like Kal-El doesn't exist.
That is 100% what I'm thinking as well, unfortunately. Yeah.
Like instead of the really skinny Superman that we see in the comic version, we just have a Supergirl instead. I don't know. That's a really pessimistic part of me thinking, which I'm just like, I hope they don't go down that route. Maybe that like in the results of like the new world created after Flashpoint, she shows up, who knows,
and replaces Superman then.
Yeah, there we go. I always like the idea that based on that Man of Steel comic, that she shows up, she's like in that empty pod in the ship of Man of Steel, and like she wanders off and like potentially like becomes like starts the Amazonians. I always like that theory, but
people that was kind of a lightning rod theory for a while. I actually kind of like that, because it's like, oh well, that makes sense, the DNA of a stronger, faster, you know. But people didn't like that a lot. I saw online there's a lot of blowback against it, but I kind of like that theory as well.
That was Bill Ramey. He said that on Twitter, I think, and then news media picked it up, some news outlets picked it up, and they ran with it, and he had to like go on like New York Times and stuff and go, I literally just made that up and people ran with it.
Well, it was him, like it was Bill Jett from Batman on Film. Like it was just conjecture, right? On his part.
Right. Yeah.
Right. But yeah. I thought that was a kind of fun idea. Like I
did too. I did too. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. No. So I hear about Supergirl. It just, why does everyone have to be a brunette now? Like Lana Lang, Supergirl. It's like, you know,
Zach Moore.
Lois Lane was a redhead, wasn't she?
That's true. Lois Lane was. They're correcting for that. Lois Lane is a redhead, so everybody else is a brunette. But I got you, and I don't. That is my greatest fear as well, Mateo. But either version of that, she replaces Superman, like either in the Flashpoint or when I fixed everything, and now Henry Cavill and Ben Affleck are gone, but I get Robert Pattinson and Supergirl. Like that is the last thing I want. At the end of Flashpoint. But anyway, Darren, what are your thoughts on this, man?
I'm kind of with you guys. I haven't really seen anything that she's been in, so it should be interesting to see where they go. I have the same fear as Mateo, but like if they do kind of go in that route where she's replacing Superman in the Flashpoint story, you know, like maybe she's like, you know, skinny and weak and like locked up, and then like it's like female empowerment, she breaks out, and that's just my guess. I'm probably completely wrong. And I kind of hope I'm wrong, but I don't know. I don't really have a opinion, I guess. I'm just curious, and I'll wait and see whenever this movie has a trailer.
JJ, what about you?
At the very least, the video that Andy My Spaghetti released with the Zoom call with her was just so beautiful. If you're watching that and not tearing up or getting excited, you're, you know, where's your heart, where's your soul? But So that aspect of it I loved. As far as like thinking further into it, like, well, how does she fit in the story, you know? And it's funny, I didn't even think about all the Superman Flashpoint stuff that you guys brought up. So now I'm thinking, oh, that maybe that is what they're doing. But also, it seems like this is Flashpoint in name, because if we're talking about the multiverse, that doesn't actually factor into the Flashpoint comic book, which is one of my favorite comics. But at the same time, it's like, I don't know her, but at the same time, I didn't know Stephen Amell. I didn't know Melissa Benoist. You know, I didn't know Henry Cavill. That I'm excited about. And I'm excited to see where we go from here with her.
Okay, what about you, Joey?
I will always be excited about, you know, an unknown playing, you know, a major hero. You know, that goes all the way back to Christopher Reeve, you know, I mean.
Who was in soap operas himself,
yeah, right,
before being Superman. So let's keep that in mind.
The only thing that I, you know, that my thoughts go to is, like, you know, again, another major hero being cast in the Flash movie, you know, and we and we don't hear too much about the whole Flash side of it. So it kind of, you know, points me towards the Flashpoint story. And I guess my major question is, did they say, is the only thing that we know is that Michael Keaton is playing Batman? Because in terms of the original Flashpoint storyline, could Michael Keaton be playing, you know, Thomas Wayne? Is, you know, that where I've kind of started to go, which I you know, don't pay that close attention to it.
Well, there was a lot of confusion when they first announced Michael Keaton.
Like, he was going to be Nick Fury, like, too.
Yeah, well, yeah, the Nick Fury type, like, which is another odd Marvel comparison. I don't know why all these trade magazines trying to make headlines make these stories, but, like, there was a lot of confusion about, like, oh, is Jeffrey Dean Morgan going to be Flashpoint Thomas Wayne, which is what everybody thought, which would be perfect, which was set up perfectly.
Missed opportunity. Flashpoint.
A complete missed opportunity. Like, I just, like, I don't understand. Like, I would, as much as I love Michael Keaton and want to see him as Batman, it makes more sense to tell Flashpoint and to use that character and that actor.
Yeah.
Yeah, but by all accounts, Michael Keaton is playing his Batman in these movies.
He's his Bruce Wayne from Earth 89 that, you know, Robert Wool was on.
Robert Wool. and the Batman just captured the Joker, apparently, in 2019, which doesn't make any sense.
And yeah, Crisis just cleared everything up and made it all one universe, except we still have a complete multiverse.
Well, yeah, well, Stephen Amell explained it all at the end. He was like, yeah, and then there were more Earths again. So this was all a waste of time.
Reshuffle.
Stargirl is Earth 2.
Stargirl is Earth 2. I'm very excited about Stargirl. I haven't watched it at all. But
it's
John Wesley Shipp coming on as The Flash. You got me.
I watched just the pilot and, you know, it had a Smallville feel to it, I thought, in terms of just...
There's some people have been telling me.
Yeah. And, you know, we just didn't watch... You know, that was kind of at the last leg of DC Universes when I first watched the pilot. So I plan on catching up soon.
Well, I just, you know, there's been so many shows. It's like, oh my gosh, you know, but now that the shows are leaving, you know, I'm like, okay, maybe this is a good jump in time again. So
Zach, you should definitely make time for Stargirl. I liked it more than I liked Titans and Doom Patrol. I actually rewatched it, which I did not do with Titans and Doom Patrol.
Okay, rewatchability, that's a good factor. So, well, Chris, what's your take on this whole Supergirl thing?
Yeah, just not to add too much because everyone's kind of said the things that I'm thinking too. I'm along the same lines as you and Lance now. It's like I'm just not excited for the movie. I think there's too much. I'm definitely going to see it, and I'm going to give it its opportunity, but like leading up to it, they can announce all the things under the roof and it's kind of be like, okay, we'll see.
This could save me Lance's friendship if we both don't like it. So this is actually good news for me. Yeah, I did, like, of course Michael Keaton's Batman, I'm like, well, I'm there, of course. Now this needs to lead to a Batman Beyond movie. If not, I will also be upset, because like as obvious as it is to make Jeffrey Dean Morgan Thomas Wayne in this Flashpoint movie, it's like you take old Michael Keaton and you make a Batman Beyond movie. And I don't know, does mainstream people not understand how like Batman Beyond was a huge deal for people our age? Like that was a huge deal and people love it. And it's come mainstream comics multiple times. Terry McGinnis is now part of the, like, people just ignore it. And like, and what was interesting to me was, I don't know if you guys know this, maybe you do, maybe you don't, but around 2000 time-ish, they were talking about doing a Batman Beyond movie with the guys who made Remember the Titans, which is another one of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
So that would have been great.
I remember that.
Because this was a similar time where they were just like, what do we do? I don't know. And they were talking about Batman versus Superman back then. They were talking about Batman Year One with Darren Aronofsky. They were talking about Batman Beyond. And so, you know, to what some of y'all are saying about give me everything for that. Like, fine, you can have your, I will take your dumb Robert Pattinson, the Batman movie that I don't want, but give me Batman Beyond with Michael Keaton at the same time, and I will take all of that. So I don't know. Like, I,
well, let's just hope that it goes into pre-production as soon as they see the numbers that it does on HBO Max once it's up there.
Yeah, there you go. So
here's the thing. I'm going to throw something out there for you guys. This predates Batman Beyond by just a little bit. A great template for Batman Beyond as a movie is The Mask of Zorro.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And that came out a couple years before, didn't it? You're right.
Yep, it did.
So,
it did.
Wow. Well, Bruce Timm, you just ripped off, Zorro.
Ripped off Anthony Hopkins and Antonio Banderas, exactly. Well,
oh, man, that's a great... I never saw the sequel. Did anyone see the sequel to that?
It's been a long time. I did see it, but I don't remember.
Not good.
Because it came out like 10 years after. I'm like, you guys waited way too long. Like,
I just think with all that's going on here, it's digital and like video being everything. These are the new comic books. So you have TV, you have movies. It's so much easier to make these things now. It's kind of like the comic runs of the old days where like you'd have a number of different writers writing together, telling stories, and you have different versions, different Earths. And I think it's just expanding, and I think it's just going to keep growing. I think we're going to see more movies, more TV shows with obscure characters, more reiterations of ones we've already seen. I think it's just going to keep growing.
I agree.
Oh, yeah, I'm all about it. Just don't stop giving us the stuff we already like and want.
Yeah,
to give us the new stuff. That's the thing.
Fair enough.
So, Batman 89, Superman 78, comic books coming to DC Comics. I don't know what took them so long to do this. This is like the most obvious thing ever to do. Remember way back when we pitched, like, what's your favorite idea for a superhero thing, right? I mean, like, this, I was like, this, and now we get this. This is great. I want more, yeah. Christopher Reeve Superman, more Michael Keaton Batman. Joe Quinneros, the artist, pitched this to DC Comics like 5 years ago. Batman 89 continuation, about continuing on from Batman and Batman Returns. Yeah. And so now him and Sam Hamm, the writer of the Tim Burton Batman movies, in particular the first one, is writing this, because Sam Hamm is a comic book writer. I mean, he wrote The Man Who Falls, which is where the character of Henry Ducard came from Batman Begins. So to me, I mean, I'm the Superman fan here, right? But it's like, that's like almost the more legitimate one of these two, because you have people like created a team of the movies continuing on the story. And it's very clear that we're getting like, they're releasing like teases, and we're seeing like Harvey Dent stuff. I'm very excited for that. And then for the Superman, I got to pull up their names because now I'm going to sound like an idiot. I care much more about the Batman one, clearly, because I know their names. Stand by, everybody. I'm letting you down, guys. I'm going to refund all your money this month.
Do you take a check?
That's a joke.
Yep.
All right, we're going to check tomorrow. We all got double.
Please leave this in the episode.
double charge.
Double
66.2.
That's right. That's the next level. Yeah. You host the podcast at that level.
You'll still edit, right?
Oh, yeah. That's exactly. Pay me $66 a month. Sure. And then on Superman 78, the writer artist team is Robert Venditti and Wilfredo Torres. And I'm not that familiar with either of their work, but Wilfredo Torres has been drawing some Christopher Reeve-esque Superman art for a while. And he's released some images too of Bizarro and Lois Lane. So very excited about that one. Of the two, I am more excited about Batman. This one, Superman, I'm waiting for more information because they're kind of unclear about where this takes place, because it's not after 4, and it's like between 1 and 2, maybe. I want it to be after 2. I don't know. Joey, what are your thoughts, man?
I was listening to the Caped Wonder Superman podcast earlier today, and they were talking about it, and they were saying that it sounds like they didn't want to have to pick a lane in terms of Donner Cut, non-Donner Cut, and so it's just right after Superman the movie.
Lane.
So that's the... It sounds like
because
that's
of
the...
Lois Lane, I get it. It's funny.
Pretty Little Road.
That was a good line from Lex.
Picking it up right from there, and I know I'm personally just... That's the one I'm personally more excited for, just to... You know, as long as they don't go the Smallville season 11 route and the art looks like the the actors that we
the
know.
The covers were good, but the inside, I'm like, who is this?
If you showed somebody just without any covers, Smallville season 11, they think it's just a generic Superman comic. I mean,
does that bother you, Joey? Though, for the because I am frustrated by the complete confusing continuity of the Christopher Reeve Superman universe, where it's like, okay, you have Superman the movie, and then you have 2, 3, and 4 theatrical. Then you have Superman the movie, and you have the Donner cut, and I guess maybe Superman Returns. And then you have Superman the movie, and maybe the theatrical or Donner cut of Superman 2, and then Returns. And now we have this, which is ignoring all of that. See, the Batman one, that's why I'm more excited about the Batman. Batman is very, I can explain this to people. They're like, what's this? I'm like, oh, well, remember when Tim Burton left? This is if he didn't leave. Everyone's like, oh, okay, I understand now. Yeah, but now it's like, so what is the Superman comic? I'm like, I don't know. I can't explain it to you because I don't know. And it's, so that's where my frustration comes. But Joey, if they're really just wiping away everything, that makes me feel better than if they're trying to wedge it between 1 and 2. That's what I don't want. So
yeah, I think they're going to leave themselves open where we're not going to have any canon issues, where it's just going to be, you know, maybe we get Mix-o-Pitlick, where maybe we get Brainiac, maybe we, you know, just we're going to get.
I want to see all that.
Yeah, we're gonna get Christopher Reeve as Superman, just dealing with, you know, classic villains and, you know, stories we always wanted to see. So that's what I'm personally most excited for.
With this comic, I'm really interested in just like, maybe, like you said, that it takes place like after 1. I kind of wish that it took place like during 1, where, because we don't know the length of time. I mean, it's been a while since I've seen the original, but we don't know like the exact amount of time that takes place throughout the movie. So until like Lex like enacts his whole California scheme. So it'd be kind of cool, just kind of like you that way Lexis can like at least do a commentary on Superman's actions in the background and like learning more about him before like he gets his hands on kryptonite and things of that nature. Because like if it takes place after 1, then like he's in jail, and like what can you really do with him in jail?
Well, you can't pay for Gene Hackman's likeness rights, so that probably.
Oh, that's probably why then. Yeah,
man, I don't know. I mean, maybe he would, right? I don't know. The Batman comics are really fortunate that Joker's dead, because Jack Nicholson's likeness rights are very expensive as well. That's why we don't have lots of toys of him, right? We have more, you know, that multiverse line. You have Penguin, you have Catwoman, you have Michael Keaton, you got Zod, you got Christopher Reeve. No Joker in that. Expensive, yeah. So
right,
but that's a cool idea. I didn't even think about that, like, because you're right, there's a how much time does take place in Superman the movie. I kind of like how it's kind of vague, so you can just kind of imagine that Lois and Clark became really good friends and Superman and Lois fell in love over more than the course of like a weekend, and then that the plan happened, right? So so that'd be cool. See, if this is successful, they can tell like in between stories like that. I'd love to see some of that as well.
Especially like within Superman 2, when he's talking to Jor-El in the Donner cut, and he's just like, "Oh, after all I've done for them," and I'm like, "Yo, chill. You've been Superman for like maybe 3 days.
who are you, Christian Bale's Batman? Come on, man. Put in some time." So
yeah, so like if he had saved the world from Bizarro and Mix-a-Pitlick at that point, then like maybe he has some leeway in that conversation. But like at that point, he saved California and. Save Lois from Niagara Falls. So he hasn't really done much.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you mentioned Mix-a-Pitlick, and Wilfredo Torres did he posted a tweet about like, you know what would have been a good Mix-a-Pitlick? And it's a picture of Christopher Reeve and Robin Williams. I was like, that's genius. Now,
yeah,
I know Robin Williams has some very strict likeness rights. Of course, unfortunately, he passed away a few years ago, right? So his likeness rights are tied up. Now, he didn't want Disney using him as the genie forever, which is probably a smart play because, you know, they would have. But because Reeve and Williams were such good friends, they're roommates in college and were lifelong friends, maybe like their estates can work something out and use his likeness, because I think that would be fantastic to see that. That'd be so perfect.
I saw that today, and I, you know, my wife, who is not even anywhere remotely a Superman fan, I just kind of, you know, showed her the picture, and she was like, oh my God, that would be perfect.
Mm-hmm. And they wouldn't have the budget back then to do it. And, in comic books, they can.
Just to transpose that into, you know, modern day special effects, that could have been one of the best things I've ever seen.
I think it's a great idea that they're doing this. Like we all mentioned, the timeline is the hardest part. For me, the Superman movies, the weakest point of them was post-Superman 1 and maybe Superman 2 was the Clark-Lois relationship for me. So if they're going to tell stories that are after that, I feel like it's going to be hard, or they'd have to go against some of the things that they did because they didn't have Margot Kidder for the third one, and then they come back at the fourth, and it's back and forth whether she knows, she doesn't. They're not really going to be together, whatever, that kind of thing. So I'd be less excited about seeing that universe continue a little bit. But in terms of seeing Superman as Christopher Reeve, Superman, that world, go against like Brainiac or Mr. Pillar or anybody, that sounds exciting to me.
I mean, this kind of stuff is, and this is what I live for. Like when they announced Smallville season 11, I was over the moon. Boo Joss Whedon, but still Buffy season 8 was fantastic. And I didn't read them, but there were like Charmed and X-Files continuations.
Firefly. Yeah.
Yeah. Firefly.
This is the trend nowadays. It seems
it just makes sense for DC to capitalize on this stuff. And, you know, like they did with Smallville, they did with Batman 66, which Jeff Parker, he captured the language of that show so perfectly. And same with his name's escaping me, but the writer from Wonder Woman 77, same thing. You know, it's so when they announced this, I was at work and I just, you know, I had to go someplace private just so I could start jumping up and down and going, oh my gosh, this is what I've been living for. And on top of that, the way they're incorporating some of the cool, I don't want to say behind the scenes, but let's say extraneous stuff like the Prince Joker.
Oh, that's so cool.
It's so cool looking. And this was money on the table that you left there years ago that somebody could have done. I'm so excited for this. And with Superman 78, it's like, I'm excited for it. It sounds cool no matter what it is. I guess it takes place after part one, which is weird. Like, why not have it be like Superman 5? But whatever, regardless. I just think, like, you know who should draw this is Gary Frank. Because
100%.
He always makes his Superman, like Doomsday Clock and all the Geoff Johns stuff, he always looks like Christopher Reeve. But yeah, it's not. They have the other artist whose name escapes me. Zach said it earlier. So
Wilfredo Torres is his name.
There it is. I'm not going to say it because I just said it. but seriously, it's like this stuff is what I live for. And the only thing now that I'm hoping for is crossover.
Like, oh, if they don't do a crossover, then don't even do this. You know, what a waste.
I mean, you know, maybe with the announcement being in conjunction with each other, I'd hope that, you know, they are, you know, we can finally use all of those YouTube mashup trailers for for something. Yeah.
I saw Crisis stuff with Christopher Reeve and Adam West thrown in there.
Yeah. YouTube is a wonderful place.
It's really a shame that some of the YouTube versions of Crisis that were made in 2006 had some more potential than what we saw.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, we got to see Kevin Conroy be evil.
Yeah, but he killed Superman. That's cool.
Full disclosure, I loved that because you can say whatever you want about that storyline, but here's where I stand with it. Kevin Conroy was live action Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was fine and perfect. And in the same episode, Tom Welling came back as Clark Kent.
By far the best episode of Crisis.
Yeah, that's what we all wanted from Crisis.
Yeah, there was a sharp downturn.
Yeah, Reverse. Batman by default.
Right.
People are really on the fence about, like, who brought in Kevin Conroy and he was this. I'm like, yeah, but he was in the episode the whole time and he actually had a good message about why Batman shouldn't kill. And, you know, the ending, he got some Dark Knight Returns lines in there. The ending was a little disappointment for him, but you know what? He was there most of the episode. Unlike our friend Tom Welling, who was there for once, you know, two scenes. As much as I love those scenes, it was kind of like he was in and out, but Kevin Conroy was in the whole episode. So I really have no issues with that.
It actually fit with Batwoman's arc throughout the first season.
Yeah, it became very obvious that any of these extras or any of these legacy castings or whatever were never going to outshine any of the current Arrowverse characters. I mean, they were going to have their moments a little bit. No, none of them were ever going to be more than that. So they had to serve that greater purpose.
Which I understand a little bit, but also, like, you know what, guys? You have 21 episodes a season to use all these other characters. Can we have these guys be in these? But anyway, that's its own conversation for another time. But
when you did your 1 year later Crisis special, it brought up so many feelings that I forgot I had.
I still fondly like scenes in Crisis, yeah. But overall, it's less than some of its parts for sure.
Well, if we can stay on this Crisis tangent for one more second.
Sure.
Cavante, Chillis and I, we were doing an episode of my show, and we sort of realized it as we were talking about it that what Crisis on Infinite Earths lacked was Barry and Oliver, which was central throughout all the other crossovers.
Mm.
Because we didn't have that aspect, it was lacking, because Crisis on Earth X and Elseworlds, they're great because we have those interactions with those two guys that we've been following for so many years. So when that was taken away and they barely had any screen time together, it was just like, meh, you know, if that makes any sense.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Oliver did die in the first, at the end of the first episode. So there was no opportunity for that.
Well, he got better.
Yeah, we all remember what a great role the Green Arrow played in the comic book Crisis on Infinite Earths. So
I think he's literally in one panel throughout 12 issues.
I want to see Brandon Routh, Michael Keaton, and Stephen Amell in Zack Snyder's The Dark Knight Returns. All right, that's what I want.
That would honestly be incredible.
But also, now that I think about it, I take it back. Henry Cavill and Ben Affleck and Stephen Amell and Zack Snyder's The Dark Knight Returns. That makes more sense, actually. So,
Brandon Routh could be Carrie Kelly. So,
Kelly.
But taking it back to the comic books, Darren, is there anything you're looking forward to in these? Are you excited about these announcements here?
Both. Yeah, it's really exciting. Like you said, it should have been done years ago. I really wish I could be a writer on the Superman one. I really, really wish I could. That'd be so much fun. But yeah, I'm looking forward to both of them. You know whose rights would be really easy to get? Annette O'Toole's Lana Lang. You can continue that.
There we go.
You can continue that Smallville 3 thing like your commentary.
I would love to see that. But yeah, forget that. Let's just see. Let's have Clark and Lana married to the Daily Planet, and you know Lois can be jealous.
See that Lana Lois, you know that tension there that. Tom Welling teased for season 10 that didn't actually happen, but
that's true. Well, yeah, we've got to get Lana back. Yeah, good, nice try, Tom.
Yeah, yeah, it's gonna be super cool. I'm really excited.
Yeah, I've never gotten these digital comics the way like the week they've come out or not even Smallville. I waited for the print issue, you know, but for these, I'm gonna buy like three times. I guess I'm gonna buy them digitally. I'm going to get the comics, and then I'm going to get the graphic novels when they come out, because these are my childhood we're talking about here.
I did that with Smallville.
Are they going to be included with the DC? I don't know what they renamed it to, but I think they still take from my bank account.
Infinite Universe, is it?
DC Comics Infinite, right?
If you never canceled your DC Universe, are they still taking my money? I'm not quite sure.
Maybe go check your bank accounts and find it out.
Next to that 66.2 charge.
Right, that's right. Yeah, for Batman 89... I think it's pretty obvious that Harvey Dent Two-Face is going to be a villain. I love the Joker's gang and like the Prince and the DD from Batman Beyond. Like that's a factor in there. I love how it's so cool that obviously the animated series came from the Burton movies, right? And now the animated series is now influencing the return to the Burtonverse, like how that's all cyclical. It's so cool. And and even seeing like the Gordon design, and we have Bullocks coming in and the bat suit. If I had one thing to say about the designs though, I wish the bat suit didn't have the white eyes, the lenses. Like, that's comic book Batman. Like, I want to see the Michael Keaton Batman without the... Maybe those just are retractable. Maybe they come in and out. I don't know. That's like, the smallest nitpick of all time I'm complaining about, but I'm just saying, like...
Well, but it isn't, because... have you read Batman Earth 1?
Oh, yeah, yes,
Jeff Johns, Gary Frank, yeah. Okay, so, like, being able to see Batman's eyes, and, like, in the movies and everything, it makes a difference. You know, you can tell... what he's thinking, what he's feeling, it makes a difference. So I'm totally on. It's not a small nitpick.
That way you don't have to do the Spider-Man thing where you have to rip off his mask at the end of every movie, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
The eyes are the windows to the soul.
Yeah, there windows to the soul. That's good. but yeah, I mean, there's so many. I would love to see Scarecrow, Mr. Freeze, like, oh, you go down the list of all these villains you want to see in the Burtonverse, right? And then actors who would, and that was the cool thing about Batman 66 and, you know, when even Wonder Woman 77, they crossed over when they have characters who they'd never cast, but you cast actors of the time, right? Like, right. They had basically Christopher Lee as Ra's al Ghul. I'm like, oh, that's genius. Like, that's perfect, because he was Dracula back then. Like, right, I want to see that with these movies. Like, I don't know who they would pick for what. Maybe Brad Dourif as the Scarecrow, or, you know, Jeff Goldblum. I don't know, people they were talking about at the time. Steve Buscemi, right? I don't know, right? But people who could have played those characters if those movies continued is what I would like to see. And that's what I'm most interested in. And Superman, like, you know, I just want to see all the villains. Like, I just want to see all the... Now that we have the budget and the unlimited scope to do whatever you want with Christopher Reeve's Superman, I want to see Metallo, Brainiac, all that good stuff. So I'm very excited about these. And these are... I believe they're going to be 12-issue miniseries, and then... Hopefully they do well and they continue them on past that, because you have endless possibilities with these characters in these universes. So,
animated movies.
I heard hardcover by fall, I believe.
Really?
Okay. I think he's right. Yeah. Yeah.
What is the launch? What's the launch date of
July?
These?
July.
Okay. Oh, wow. So they're going to turn that around pretty quick. Okay.
Yeah.
So, all right. Great. What's going to be, man, this what a good year to be a DC fan. I mean, we got Superman and Lois. We got the Snyder Cut. We got these comic books coming out.
And Superman's being rebooted.
And Superman's being rebooted. Yes. So all the cool stuff you like now, don't worry about it. It's not going to be washed away and rebooted. Yeah. But yeah, you know, as we wrap up here, I don't want to spend too much time on it because we're going to be doing a lot of coverage here on the podcast. But Superman and Lois, I think we all loved it, right?
Yes.
Yes.
A good episode. Yeah.
11 out of 10.
If I can throw out my disappointment real quick, I felt that the Luther twist was not nearly as interesting, and not necessarily a twist, as the Fleischer suit showing up.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that didn't get spoiled.
Yeah.
Shocked it didn't get spoiled.
It did get spoiled for me. I was really bummed out because I don't have cable, so I had to watch it the next day. But it did ruin my enjoyment of the show. And let me just say that watching it, Tyler Hoechlin, I mean, all of them. I thought the kids would be annoying. They weren't. I thought we were going to get another run-of-the-mill Arrowverse pilot. We did not. We got a genuinely awesome, exciting Superman thing. You know, we want to call it a movie, almost, kind of. It was a two-hour thing. And for me, personally, when Clark was like, am I a bad father? I was like bawling. I was like, no, Clark, you're not. You're doing the best you can. You know, it's tough being a dad. And I was just, and then I had to like stop myself and go, okay, it's cool. It's cool. We're watching Superman. It's fine. Despite the Luther twist being probably the weakest bit of the entire thing, it still didn't sour my enjoyment of all of it. I'm invested. I'm on board for the rest of the season.
I know personally, like when I, you know, my only reservations coming in were, and it's, you know, when I first saw Tyler Hoechlin in Supergirl, I was like, this guy's great. But, you know, they did the disservice of having him stand next to Brandon Routh in Crisis. And and that's where I was just like, you know, this isn't thinking just in terms of, but, you know, I couldn't have been more wrong. And I think the thing that Superman and Lois has is, I want to call it the kitchen table content, that, you know, just in terms of like what Smallville had in terms of, you know, sitting at the kitchen table with, you know, Jonathan, Martha, and, you know, almost like a Boy Meets World type of that kind of, you know, the life lessons and things. And that's what I'm most excited for, is just, you know, that kind of content. And, you know, and as we all know, Zach was the same age as Clark throughout Smallville.
That's correct. I don't know if you guys know that. Yeah, but
might have heard that.
You know, for me, you know, my wife and I are expecting coming up, and, you know, seeing Superman as a father is just kind of a cool thing. You know, just heading into that next phase of life is just seeing the characters grow up, and I'm really excited. Just, you know, for hopefully years to come of this show.
Congratulations!
Yeah, thank you.
Congrats.
So I rewatched the Smallville pilot the day that it aired, just so I can do some compare and contrast. And I will say, going into it, I did have concerns in regards to the kids, just because I didn't want them to be like moody teenagers. And then rewatching the Smallville pilot, I was like, oh yeah, wait, Clark was a moody teenager too. I still love Smallville. So yeah, I think the show is just like so much there's so much love to the character. I mean, the Fleischer suit scene with the reference to Action Comics number one and Superman for All Seasons. I'm like, you can tell that people love Superman. The people who work on the show love Superman and there's care for it. And I'm just really excited for where it's going to go. I do have concerns about Jordan being the one that has powers just because I don't know anybody that has social anxieties, or I don't know, that's an area I'm not familiar with at all. So I can't really judge on how his behavior and how realistic it is, but I don't want it to be him yelling at his parents every week. I feel like that can easily get very exhausting, especially because the CW often over dramatizes a lot of family conflicts.
What do you mean?
I want the whole family to be a stable unit. I want Lois and Clark to have a similar relationship to their sons that Clark did have with his parents in Smallville. You know, I'm hoping that there's a healthy balance with it, but with Jordan being the one with the powers, I'm sure that there's a lot of different stuff going on. I honestly was a little disappointed that his heat vision wasn't because he saw Sarah Smallville. I wish his eyes glued just pheromones. A little bit.
I didn't even think about that. That's good.
That's funny.
Yeah. I was a little disappointed by that, but I'm also a part of me is just kind of thinking that maybe they'll do a Young Justice route with the boys that, for those people who don't know that, in Young Justice, Superboy on the show doesn't have all Superman's abilities, that he has strength and speed, but he doesn't have flight or heat vision. And a part of me is just kind of predicting / hoping that maybe the two boys have different portions of his powers, that Jordan has heat vision and super strength, and Jonathan gets X-ray and flight or something like that. I think that'd be a really interesting dynamic. I think that they're probably going to ride the whole Jordan has powers and Jonathan doesn't for a while, just because they won't have the Super Sons dynamic. But that would be a really cool twist.
I like how one son has the powers, one doesn't. But you're right. By season three, they'll both have powers.
By Jonathan's senior year, you know he's going to break somebody's collarbone. And
there you go. And then Jensen Ackles is going to have to come in and be like, hey, man, are you taking drugs? What's going on here?
About leading into the kids having powers, I absolutely love the fact that they didn't make Jonathan jealous.
100%.
That it wasn't a sticking point. He's like, yeah, well, I'm just legit. But I mean, he's honestly though, he's got to have a little something, right? Nobody can throw a football through a rope.
Okay, so that was him, right? Yeah,
was that? I thought that might have been Clark, and because they showed him growing up too.
No, it was definitely Jonathan.
Okay,
it's definitely Jonathan. But for me, I absolutely loved it. I thought my reservations going in was how are we going to see him being a parent? There's going to be the struggle there. Every piece that I thought was going to be an issue was not, and it was great, and it was so well done. And I think it says a lot about it that we're all big comic book superhero fans, and we're saying that we loved it. And the weakest part of it was the villain and the fight scene with the villain, where Superman can just pull kryptonite out and stop himself fine. Anyways, that's a whole different other debate, but I'm excited to see more. I hope that they keep it going on this route too. I liked it. It was good. Let's see more.
Yeah, I agree. I thought it was a really good episode. It definitely surprised me as well. I was also a little surprised to see some of the criticism of the show. I couldn't remember some of the one or two of the reviews that I saw. They're like, it's boring and it makes some of the same mistakes as Man of Steel. And I'm like, come on, really? I can see the influences, but it's not that at all.
Well, so Darren, I think some of those people, they must have seen it and got confused and thought Zack Snyder was involved. They're like, oh no, we have to not like it. So let me write. Yeah. I think that's probably what they...
I even saw the opposite of that. I saw somebody say that, I bet you the military has never pointed their guns at Tyler Hoechlin, Superman. I'm like, oh my God.
I saw that conversation you were having. That was,
Hey,
who's to say they didn't?
Yeah, 10, 15 years ago, right? The timeline is very, I don't know, one day we'll have to sit down and hash all this out. That'd be fun. But the Arrowverse, about how old is everyone and what year this is, right? Because they went from, think about this, this is the current day. At the end of the crisis, right, Lois and Clark had just gotten married a year before and had a baby. And the universe got reset, And now they have two 14-year-old sons. So, and presumably got married 15 years ago. So that's a whole nother universe.
That was one of my sticking points, was like Kara is not mentioned even. I mean, her not being there is one thing, because Melissa Benoist either just had a child or is about to have a child. She had already. Okay. I did not look it up because I knew one of you would know, because that's how lazy I am. But seriously, her not being mentioned at all, despite 6 years of us being told that Kara is just as good, if not better, than Superman, was a little strange. But you sort of have to go into it thinking, all right, this is its own thing. Like, if let's just say this is Arrow season one all over again, right?
That's absolutely what you need to look at it as, and I feel that's very intentional on their part, is my understanding as well, which is the smart move, because this is a re-entry point into the Arrowverse for a lot of people, myself included.
I agree, yeah.
I was personally disappointed that it didn't open up with "My name is Clark Kent." Like,
yeah. You're disappointed? Whoa.
You know eventually they'll go to that well.
Oh, please don't.
Well, right after Crisis, I mean, after Crisis, all of the shows, even, you know, The Flash, they stopped doing the "My name is," you know, whatever. So that, I mean, kind of opened it up.
Well, we still had the monologue. We still had him talking.
But I think that's just a pilot thing.
Like, yeah.
We'll see how that continues. But, and you know, and you guys have, if you've heard my Superman and Lois podcast we did. John Cryer, where are you? You're my favorite.
I was going to ask about favorite, that, like, yeah.
Yep.
You
know, yeah.
I was actually thinking they just called him Luther.
Captain Luther, right?
And I was thinking that could tie into the original, you know, Siegel and Schuster just Luther villain, the mad scientist, in terms of, you know, it's not Lex Luthor. It was, I mean, back then it was just Luther. So I was kind of thinking it could tie into that in terms of a multiverse type of.
I think you're giving him too much credit, but we'll see.
he's John Cryer's son.
Yeah.
Lenny.
Yeah, his nephew.
Lenny Luther. Yeah, we'll see. I hope John Cryer's like Luther better show up at some point. That's all I'm going to say on that.
Too busy on Supergirl at the moment.
Yeah, yeah. Is he a regular in season six? Is he?
Yeah. Well.
Oh, I don't know about
regular. Sorry, season six is coming up, right?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, so I don't know about that. I'm sorry.
Yeah. We'll see. I don't think he's filmed anything.
Probably still want to use them for whatever storyline that they didn't finish in season five.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they probably want to clear that slate before they consider using him. I would be shocked if they don't put him in Superman and Lois, but it's probably like the whole Captain Luther thing is probably literally just because, like, hey, we can't use John Cryer right now, and we still need a Luther, even though there's plenty of other villains like Parasite, Metallo. Like, we still need a Luther for some reason, but sure.
Rogolzar, who destroyed Krypton, that'd be cool.
I literally thought that was going to be him. I thought it was going to be him.
So did I.
Mr. Oz.
I thought it was going to be the Phantom Stranger. Didn't they, like, cast him as a Stranger?
They called him the Stranger. Yeah, I thought the same thing. Yep.
They're going to do.
Hmm.
Well, I mean, we all thought, is there anybody who saw the Jordan getting powers thing coming over Jonathan?
No, actually, I was surprised.
Because I'm looking back and I'm thinking about it now, like, we all should have figured it out. The one that was named after Jor-El is the one that got the powers.
Yeah.
Well, in hindsight, yeah.
And, well, I thought they were both going to have powers, but then what the other one was going to, like, Jordan was going to have them but not tell anybody, right? And that was going to be, and they're going to be pitted against each other, you know. Season three, everyone.
I really thought it was going to be a long, drawn-out thing that, you know, Clark and Lois weren't going to find out. I thought when he fell off of, you know, the thing, that he was going to end up floating or something, and it wasn't going to be this episode reveal. And yeah, the whole, I thought the conflict of this season was going to be, don't tell mom and dad we have powers.
I think it really goes to show how well directed the episode was, because I went into it thinking that it was going to be Jordan. And then when the pipes fell and Jonathan jumped over Jordan to save him, that threw me off, because I was like, oh, so Jonathan is the one that has powers. And then what is it, like, as like they were getting beat up and like they really started focusing on Jordan's face, that's when I knew. I was like, he's gonna shoot some fire out of his eyes.
Well, because they made it clear, like, they're showing them getting beat up, and like you see Jonathan having like blood come out and everything, injuries. And you're not seeing you weren't really seeing that with Jordan. But, like, shouldn't these people's, like, hands break hitting them?
He just had the vision. He didn't have the invulnerability.
Well, he did because he fell off the barn. He didn't break a leg or anything. Yeah.
Oh. Just a small season one thing where like Clark is still like his skin isn't super impervious just yet. Like
get some bruises from the bullets and stuff.
Yeah.
So this is going to be Lois and Clark and Smallville combined as a sequel in the future. I'm like, okay, well, sure, let's watch that. This will be fun.
All these things that we're saying that we expected to happen and they're not, it's also nice to see that these writers are learning. Like, these are things that happen in shows we watched previously. In Smallville, there would have been that long, drawn-out thing. And then, you know, even things that happen in the Arrowverse shows that we're accustomed to seeing, we expected, and then it didn't happen here. It's nice to see that these are evolving and that we're getting different things.
Yep.
Absolutely.
So yeah, I mean, we all have different kind of Superman fandoms and stuff. And obviously, we all love Smallville, so it brought us here. But we all have kind of different preferences, or whatever. But I think it's very important to say, like, we all love this show. Like, good for them. Yeah. They did something great. A unifying thing in fandom. Shocking. Although, of course, you have your outliners, your people are saying it's boring. You guys were saying people complaining about it. You're always going to have that. But I think the overwhelming majority of people were satisfied with this, pleased about it, and excited to see more. And that is great. And Superman fan, that is lovely to see. So
absolutely.
Alrighty. Well, we will leave it there, y'all. But again, thank you so much for being patrons on level 33.1. Always a fun time talking to y'all. Let's go around the table here and tell people where to find you out there on the internet. Mateo, let's start with you, man.
You guys can find me on Twitter at MatthewSantiago88. If you search for me, that's where I'm at.
Cool. What about you, JJ?
You can find me Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at 4 Comic Junkies, and my podcast, 4 Comic Junkies, F-O-R, 4 Comic Junkies. Please give it a listen. Zach's been on, Lance and Gavante and Lauren Wynn have been on. We've had great talks. It's a good time over there. Yep. And that's it.
Check it out. What about you, Joy?
You can find me on Twitter at JoeyD94_13.
And what about you, Darren?
You can find me on, well, most social media, but my main ones are Vero and Twitter under my name, Darren Kirsch or Darren Kirsch 16.
And finally, what about you, Chris?
If you want to hear me rant about sports or comic book media type, I'm on Twitter at CRFuke7. If you want to see pictures of my kids, go to Instagram with the same handle.
All right. Pictures of Chris's kids on Instagram. Check them out.
So. In Superman shirt or in superhero shirts. I do that a lot.
For me personally, you can find me on Twitter at MoronZach. That's MoreonZach. I'm also host of another podcast on the United Federation podcast, Franchise Fatigue. Check us out over there at UFB Earth and at Franchise Fatigue. And for the podcast here, we are at Always Smallville with 1S on Twitter. We are at Always Sold on Smallville on Facebook. And you can send us an email at alwaysmallville@gmail.com. Once again, with 1S. Well, there we have it, y'all. Another successful 33.1 roundtable. Lots of fun stuff to talk about this time. It's so fun to talk about these current events and bounce them off each other and get our takes about it. So keep an eye on the news there, and we'll be back next time. But until then,
always hold on to Smallville.
Always Swollen to Smallville is brought to you by listeners like you. Chris Fuchs, Cavante Chillis, Dallas Hernandez, Casey Cochran, Darren Kirsch, Joey Deanberg, JJ Hodges, DJ Duena, Jason Skipper, Nathan Rochacher, Mateo Jarrell Santiago, Nathan McKenzie, Tim Miller, Joe McIndo, Steve Rogers, John Curcio, Atif Sheik, Molly Ficarella, Trayvon Brady, Mike Franz, Dylan D'Antonio, Mariana Sachi, Rachel Miller, Andrew Parker, James Lee, Jonathan England, Adam Sullins, Joe Michael, Mark Idzfoppen, Alex Ramsey, Patrick Bravo, Jason Davis, Christopher Brewer, Corey Moore, James Bandini II, Nick Ryan Magdoza, Eddie Bissell, Jim Thomas, Nicholas Fansler, Catherine Caldwell, Will Hunt, Clunk Kant, Alana Gibbs, Patricia Carrillo, Tom Gerke, Nicholas Coso, Jared Gibbs, Erica Flynn, Anthony Anderson, Jasmine McGilly, Keith Falls, Jay Pocket, Cody Thomas, and Lauren D. Thank you so much to all these patrons. You too can become a patron by going to patreon.com/alwaysmallville with one S. Hope to see you there.